Chapter 14. Sherlock. The John Watson was a complete idiot, but most people are, Job. Time, years, passed. Mycroft became even more of a lazy cat. He went through several diets. While he was avoiding carbohydrates, he completed his acquisition of every last thread of Dear Jim's web. While Dear Jim, it would seem that Colonel Moran had taken umbrage at the news of her upcoming dismissal. Mycroft relayed that last bit of news while eyeing a muffin on the table next to them. Dull. Sherlock went on being himself. He rerouted. He investigated odd things. He was investigating something very important and interesting. Dull. He was doing surveillance in a park across from the building that he was watching. He had scrubbed away his natural scent and doused himself in his own mixture of beta blend. He sat in that park with his baby carriage full of animatronic baby, talking with the other nannies about all the things they saw. He had his stack of Mills and Boone, her pregnant Omega mistress, the Greek Alpha tycoon's virgin Omega bonded, and the Alphas beta-bonded. He didn't even wince at the last one, although his index finger slid across the name. Cindy said, OMG! She actually said the acronym, because Oh My God would have taken too long. Sherlock had silent contempt for her, but he was being someone other than himself. Have you read the new one by John Locke? It's amazing! Sherlock smiled brightly. Really? Some days he just wanted to take 100% solution of cocaine and just end stored procedure. Yeah, really? Cindy rocked the carriage in front of her. It's totes! Oh, I read that one, said Lalia, who was marginally more intelligent, which was like saying Sherlock was actually too bored to finish that analogy. Then he was not bored. It's the one about the Omega Doctor, who falls for this genius alpha thief, who is on the run from an evil genius government type. And knots the Omega up good on the side of a building. That one was mega hot. Sherlock turned slowly. Very, very slowly. What is the name of the book? Within 5 minutes he had it downloaded. He abandoned surveillance. He abandoned. He read a romance novel full of incredibly familiar, florid turns of phrase, full of incredibly familiar events. The lovers were torn apart when the Omega's death was faked by the evil mastermind. But everything came out fine 20 pages later. Sherlock reread the book. He researched the publisher and the author's agent and determined the author's address. John Watson, pen name John Locke, lived in Cornwall, in a quaint little village where they did things. Restart. If Sherlock had even conceived that John was alive, he'd have been there all along. This was not possible. He caught the train to Cornwall. He did not think on the train ride. He could not. To think was to risk system failure due to logical error. He rode on the train and blindly watched the countryside slip by. He asked at the pub. They were very helpful. John Watson was very well liked. He was very likable with his little tot and working at the local clinic as he did. Sherlock walked to the park and sat down on the bench. He watched an Omega push his daughter with her inky curls on the swings. He watched him talk to another Omega. The little girl tottered about the playground as fast as tiny short legs could go. She ran up to him. She said, "Hello, are you hurt? Mama can fix you if you're hurt." Mama approached in all his carefully recorded and archived steps. He stopped in front of Sherlock. Hello? Sherlock drank in John. Alive, John. Restart systems. Recover lost data. Recover. Recover. Restore. Restore. John, 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 John. John was saying, this is, Charity. Sherlock looked at Charity. His father had been named Charity. He said, I will talk to you later. He walked away. Sherlock stood on a street corner, thinking. The sound of his thoughts was a very large engine. Somehow he did not knock over the village. He called Molly for a consult. He gathered a few supplies. He went to the house of his and climbed in the window. John stood in the middle of the room, not moving. He put his hands in his jean pockets and slumped in his soon-to-be-burned jumper. Sherlock jumped down. He swung his riding crop through the air. It sliced the air with a satisfying swish. The force of the blow stung even against his gloved hands. John's eyes tracked the motion. He blinked at the gloves. Sherlock said, Good. You understand your situation. John opened his mouth. He was going to say something completely moronic. Sherlock could see the moronic thoughts forming. He pointed at John with the riding crop. You have been a complete moron for 1,158 days. If your overly sentimental novel is to be believed, I have deducted 7 days from your tally. John swallowed. He looked nervous. Good. He should look nervous. He should look very nervous. Magnanimously, he decided to let John know that. It shall take more than one evening for you to work off your debt. However, to be fair, he did need to add a caveat with 280 days off, as I may perhaps somewhat have read Irene while I thought you were dead. What? John's hands came out of his pockets. He took a step forward, which was good. How do you somewhat breed Irene? John was getting off topic. Sherlock held the writing crop under his nose. You faked your own death. You let me think you were dead for 3 years and 25 days. I think letting you off for the period of time that Irene, who did not fake her own death, John raised an eyebrow, fine, did fake her own death, causing someone who was deeply, you made me think you were dead. He could see his own spit in the air, and he was so very angry. Sociopaths could feel angry. He was angry. John blinked. Yes, but I thought, and that is where you are an idiot. Sherlock decided that this was better left alone. This way only led to recursive thinking. Best to get back on track. Take off your clothes. John licked his lips. Sherlock did not step forward and lick those lips. He did not assist John in taking off his clothes. He waited. Although John took significantly longer than was necessary, folding was not a requirement. Sherlock looked around the room. There was a significant lack of useful furniture. He supposed the bed would have to do. Lie down and count your strokes. They had only made it to 6, when the small pink infant monitor emitted a sad wail. Mama, I need to... John pushed himself up and put on a robe. He paused. Maybe you'd like to come with me? John. Sherlock looked down where he was holding his cock in his gloved hand. I would very much like to meet our child, but not under these circumstances. John looked down. Oh, right. I'll be... He waved at the door. Sherlock nodded. When you return, we will resume. Sherlock waited in the closet. It was a walk-in, which had interesting possibilities. Sherlock? John cleared his throat. Sherlock flipped up the collar of his coat and they resumed. They reached a dozen strokes of the crop, red lines marking John's freckled skin. He'd mapped those freckles and saved them to his long-term storage. He'd restored every one. Sherlock was breathing heavily, his breath ratcheted in his throat. John held him for a little while until he calmed down. John's hands smoothed through his hair and down his back. In a sudden flash of random access memory, Sherlock was in the moment that John did that for the first time, during John's heat, the only one they'd shared, when Sherlock had pushed into him and panicked, not knowing what to do next. John had touched him like that. He'd whispered, "Shh," then too. Like that time, Sherlock leaned into him and inhaled his scent. John's scent. He let John peel off his coat. He let him peel off his clothes piece by piece. He let him pull him down onto the narrow bed. He let his hands run through his hair and softly rub circles on his back, as if Sherlock were the one with 12 strokes of riding crop in red lines on his skin. Sherlock kissed him. He went as slowly as possible inside John. He wanted to give John the maximum opportunity to repay his debt. It wasn't that he wanted to hold on to every moment with John. It was not that at all. By morning, John had managed to work off a quarter of a year. For once, it had been Sherlock, who had woken from a marvelous dream to a marvelous reality in the middle of the night, to find John riding his phallus. John softly chanted numbers. Sherlock rewarded John by flipping him into Sherlock's favorite position. That it was John's too was a coincidence. G-force from their Cosmo Kama Sutra experimental series, balanced on his shoulders with his hips raised. John still had the excellent core body strength required for the position. He gave him 23 strokes that were worth 10 each based on the applied force and the way John keened in the back of his throat. John argued that each stroke had to be individually earned, which Sherlock allowed himself to be persuaded to accept. In the morning, and rather more sore than he remembered being before, Sherlock sat with Charity as she poured air into plastic teacups for himself and her dollies. "This one's patches." She pointed at a giraffe that was manifestly covered in patches. In general, she chattered a stream of words that made no cognitive sense. It should have been dull and boring. Sherlock was struck with a sudden sense of the years of data that he had lost. When she tantrumed off to her nap because she wasn't tired, he sympathized. He thought about those years of lost data. He was a highly functioning sociopath. He did not cry. He breathed in sharply. His eyes were gritty due to lack of sleep. He cleared his throat to speak to John, who was watching with his own sleep-deprived eyes. He breathed again. "I do not believe that the previously agreed-upon number will be sufficient." "Oh." John was holding his knees tight enough to make his knuckles white. The welts must be hurting him. Sherlock abstractly considered suggesting that he put some antiseptic ointment on them, but that was a digression. John looked away. "Okay." Sherlock glared at John. "Don't be an idiot. At least not more than you actually are." He stood up and paced the tiny living room. John needed a larger living room, so Sherlock could pace properly. "It was brought to my attention at the time that I may not have been as clear as to what my, he was not going to say feelings, thoughts towards you were."
"Were?"
John was blinking due to sleep deprivation. That was his own fault. For waking up in the middle of the night to fuck off his debt early. "I already said, don't be an idiot. Don't make me repeat myself. Sherlock forced himself to think about logical syllogisms. R. Although my thoughts should have been obvious to anyone with a modicum of observation. Sherlock realized that his voice was somewhat louder than he wanted. This was not what he had rehearsed. He paced some more. When he felt a little calmer, he said, I'm only going to be this maudlin once. And if I see this in one of your romantic clumps of twaddle, I will devise something new as a punishment. Sherlock had his eye on a soft leather flog. So pay attention for once. It takes a thief to catch a thief. And you stole my heart when you killed those guards, while I was knotted and ejaculating inside you. He shoved a velvet box at John, realized that he'd missed a step, flipped it open to show the silver plight-to-troth band inside. Here. He threw it at John, who fumbled to catch it. Bond with me. Then he felt like he needed to clinch the deal. You owe me, infinitely, and it would be very not good if you didn't repay your debt. Very. He frowned. In the interest of honesty, he said, Molly helped me with the words. The part about thieves. I didn't tell her about our system of debt collection when you are being a moron.
John wasn't saying anything. That was not good. It had been 3 years and 25 days, and that was important for normal people. Was John normal? What if last night had been about the repayment of a debt? Fine, he would take that. He would take whatever scraps there were. That's what being a sociopath meant.
Are you interested in spending the rest of your life with me?
He glared at the wall.
I may be a highly functioning sociopath, but I'd kill to keep you safe.
He blinked at the sleep deprivation in his eyes.
If you'll let me. But even if it seems if I can, I can't read your mind. And I very much need you to tell me what it is you want.
That's a bit... John trailed off. Sherlock braced himself for a bit not good, but instead received... Amazing! Sherlock blinked at John, and really had no idea what was supposed to happen next. John took a deep breath and said, I love you. I want to be with you. Of course I'll bond with you. You're amazing!
Sherlock blinked some more.
John laughed. How much have you slept in the last week?
Sherlock blinked at him.
Lie down with me where you'll be safe.
John pulled him into his bedroom for a nap, although he was not tired. But as long as John was there with him, he could close his eyes for a few minutes.